Devarim. We're only going to do one pasuk today. We're going to explain one pasuk. We're going to go through everything we possibly can about this pasuk. It's a strange one, and I spent a lot of time on it because I can, because there was not much else going on this week. I could spend a lot of time doing, you know, stuff for this, but it's not a very easy pasuk to learn. The pasuk says at the very end of the parsha, after Moshe Rabbeinu gives Musar to Bnei Yisrael, gives them a little bit of Musar, tells them what they've done wrong. Some of it beremez, some of it straight out. He goes through a little bit more and he explains about the Meraglim and why that ended up killing him at the end of the day, why things went bad from then on. And then he speaks about what happened with Og and Sichem. Og and Sichem, the two huge giants that they fought. It says in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yud Aleph, Kirak Og Melech HaBashan Nisham Yetzer Rafayim. Only Og, the king of the Bashan, he remained from the rest of the giants. Ne'arza Arz Barzel, his bed was a bed made of iron. Halloween Barabbas Ben Ammon, isn't it among the great places of the Ammonites? Tesha Amos Orkav Arba Amos Rachba Ba'amas Ish. 9 Amas long, 4 Amas wide, in the measurements of a regular person. Okay, that's the pasuk. That's what it seems to say. The only comment that Rashi has on this, he goes into the Yasper Refine with a Refine word, but he says, Ba'amas Ish, Ba'amas Og. The Amma of Og. How tall Og was. Now let's try to understand something very simply. An Amma, first of all, is the amount of time, the reason why your middle finger is called an Amma, because an Amma goes from your elbow to your top finger. That is the size of an Amma. We measure that based on the normal human being. A normal human being is about 1.5 feet. That's granted about 1.5 feet. Chazanish says it's closer to 2 feet. It's about 18 point something inches versus almost 22 point something inches. That's the difference between them, but let's assume that we're going with the regular 18 inches. If we say Amas Ish, and it's referring to a regular person, then it will be 18 inches and you're all done and everything's fine. If we're referring to Amas Og, well, Og was different. Og was absolutely huge. Og's Amma would have been however big his arm was, and that would have been even longer, which means that 9 Ammas by 4 Ammas is not a normal 9 Ammas, which would be about, I don't know, 12, 13, 14 feet by 6 Ammas, 6 feet. It's not that amount. It's much, much bigger because we're talking about the Amma of Og itself. So here let's try to explain Og a little bit. The Shachal HaTorah says that the war against Sichon happened during El. He bases it on a Medrash Tanchuma Perakov Dalid, that Og happened right after Sukkot. The war against Og was on Chav Dalid Tishrei. And through the mitzvos of Tishrei, of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, that protected them, and therefore they were able to get around Og and everything was all good. That's the point of Nasati Oso. I already gave him into your hands, Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't have to worry about Og, Melech HaBashan, even though he's got all these chuyos, and he's got the Bris Milah Moshe, but he's got everything else going for him. I gave him into your hands, past tense, because on Rosh Hashanah, I already said he was going to be in your hands, and everything was going to be all decided. It's all done. But it's strange, because Moshe was afraid of Og. So there obviously was something that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Og had, that Moshe Rabbeinu was very, very scared of and that he was worried about. Chazal tells us that he served Avram Avinu, that he was a Mishamish Avram Avinu, and that he did that. But so what? It was 500 years ago that he served Avram Avinu. 500 years of service, about 1 year of service to Avram Avinu is well worth 500 years of life. To make him defeat Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of Bnei Yisrael is crazy. What was Moshe Rabbeinu really afraid of? So they define Oso not being that they were afraid of him, they were afraid of his Bris Milah. Because Og had a Bris Milah, and that schus of the Bris Milah perhaps would allow him to be able to not be defeated. He wouldn't be able to be defeated, he'd be this huge giant, the people would be very, very scared, and that's what he was afraid of. There's more to it than just that. You think that was the schus of Og, that he had a Bris Milah? All of a sudden, like, he cut his skin? Everybody cut their skin. How about this? Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Chayisara, Simen Kuf, says that Eliezer had Kfitzis HaDerech on the way back with Rivka, when he was bringing back Rivka to Yitzchak Avinu. He came to Hebron, from Haran in 3 hours. That's from Iraq to Hebron in Eretz Yisrael in 3 hours altogether. Avraham Avinu told Yitzchak, this Eved is suspicious on any bit of erva that there could be there, and he's very tricky. So make sure that the girl is a besula before you're together with her. So Yitzchak checked if she was a besula, used one of the signs that's mentioned in Ksuvas. He did so, and realized she wasn't a besula. So immediately, they ran up to Eliezer, and they said, what happened? Because Eliezer was suspected wrongly, he was given a chesed, I guess you could say. He was freed. And a Kaddish Baruch Hu gave him his schar and a lamaze, says the Medrash, he became Og Melech HaBashan. It's Eliezer Eved Avram. Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, Parak Tezayin, toward the end, says the exact same thing. Now there's a problem with saying that Eliezer Eved Avram is like Og. There are some good things about it. The famous Medrash of Eliezer Eved Avram going into the house, the place where where what's it called, where Laban was, and he was grabbing two camels at a time and crossing them over a river. If he's a massive giant named Og, that's not an issue. That's a pretty easy thing to do. The Medrash that says that Eliezer went by himself with Avraminu to fight against the four kings, Eliezer the Galatia 318, so the 318 servants that he brought with him was really Og Melech, was really Eliezer. If it's Og, that's not that, but you can understand that. He went with Og, who'd be scared if he had a massive giant with you. That would be understandable. The fact that Eliezer Abed Avram does not really have a past or a future, we don't know what happens to him, even though he seems to be a very important character in Avraham Avinu's lifetime. In fact, you know how many times he's mentioned in the Torah? Actually, I just gave it away with my finger. But once. He's only mentioned once altogether. So once in the entire Torah Eliezer is mentioned. It would make sense that the future of Eliezer Abed Avram would be somebody like Og, something like that. He was given his reward in Olam HaZeh. That's what happened. Fine. The Radal, Rav David Luria, who writes on the side of the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, says it's two different neshamas, but they're similar neshamas, and whatever it is, but we're going to go with the Pashup shot that Eliezer is Og Melech HaBashan, the exact same person. Problem is, Derech Eretz Zuta, Perek Aleph, which is one of those Mesechtos Ketanos that nobody ever learns because not Adap Yomi, and nobody really knows they exist. You just get to the end of Avodah Zarah and Horius and Avos, and you just say like, oh, there's weird stuff over here. Anyway, you throw it out and you're gone. But Derech Eretz Zuta, toward the end of Perek Aleph, says there are nine people that went into Gan Eden alive. One of them is Eliezer Abed Avram. If Eliezer is Og, most certainly Og did not go to Olam Haba alive. There's no way he went to Gan Eden alive, so how is this possible that he was able to get inside? That's one problem. Yalki Shimoni and Kuf Gimel, right next to the one that we just mentioned, says the following. Rivka really lost her basilum because she fell off a camel when she saw Yitzchak for the very first time. You would also be shocked if somebody came from Olam Haba, like Yitzchak Binu just did. Yitzchak Bal Mi Gan Eden. Yitzchak Bal is the gematria of Mi Gan Eden. He got thrown, she fell off the camel, fell down to the ground and lost her basilum there on the ground. When Yitzchak Binu realized that she was a Pesach Basuach and that she wasn't a Basul anymore, he yelled at Eliezer, and Eliezer said, maybe she lost it by the camel all the way over there. They ran back to where the camel was. They saw that there was blood on the ground that was being protected by, anybody know? Yeah? The wild animals and? Birds, and that's why we do Kisu Adam on birds and wild animals, because they were watching over the blood of Rivka Imenu, right? So they went ahead, they saw that the animals were watching over there, so Yitzchak turned to Eliezer and said, I give you a bracha. You should go to Gan Eden alive. And the Medrash says in Yalkut Shimoni, what a pillow. Yitzchak came from Gan Eden and sent Og, Eliezer Avram, over to Gan Eden. Such a strange thing. There's no way, there's Machlokas Medrashim here. It seems to be it's a very big Machlokas Medrashim. Another problem. Baba Basra, Nun Chesem Adalek, said the Rabbana was checking the sizes of the caves. He was going around from one cave to the other cave, checking out where all the caves were. And he came to the cave of Maris Machpelah to go see where everybody was. And he saw Eliezer Abed Avram standing outside of the cave. And he said to him, what's going on inside there? He said, don't worry, you can go inside. And he sends him inside. Eliezer Abed Avram is in Gan Eden alive. If Eliezer Abed Avram isn't getting alive, what happened? And if you say, no, don't worry, that was Og, I've got another problem. There's another Gemara that's brought down. The Rush brings it down in Parshas Chukas, that Og Melech HaBashan, one time Abishol was chasing after a deer. As he was chasing after a deer, he ran after it, and he started running mile after mile after mile after the deer, and realized he was in these huge bones. He realized he was in the rib cage of Og Melech HaBashan. So Og was dead. He had a body right there. So what's he doing by Maris Machpelah? What's he doing on the outside of Maris Machpelah talking to Rabbeinu, where Rabbeinu is trying to do it? There's problems with Og. What are we referring to? How do we understand that Og could have been Eliezer Abed Avram? So let's skip that for a second. Let's go back to the Eretz. He has a bed that's mentioned over here in this week's Parsha. Most Rishonim say it's referring to a crib. A crib of when he was a child. The size is 9x4 amos, the amas each. Okay, so let's say the bed that you sleep on is most probably an amma larger than you. You wouldn't sleep on a massive bed. That would be ridiculous. You'd sleep in a bed that basically holds your height. Maybe it's an amma longer. Some people not that way, but whatever it is. Let's assume Og is 8 amos large. 8 amos large altogether. 8 amos is huge. I mean, 8 amos is a big amount. It's less than Goliath's. Goliath is supposed to be 9 amos. But 8 amos altogether would be about 13 feet. About 12.5 to 13 feet tall. That's awesome. The problem is Brachos Nundalim Abeis. Everybody knows what it says in Brachos, the famous Gemara of Og Melech HaBashan, seeing that Bnei Yisrael is right there, so he picks up a huge mountain that was 3 parsaos wide. A parsa is 2 miles. So 6 miles wide, picks up a mountain and is ready to throw it on Klal Yisrael. And what happens? These huge termites or ants bite through the mountain. It comes down on top of his head. As it falls down on top of his head, Moshe Rabbeinu jumps up. He's 10 amos tall. He would have been taller than Og, according to this. I didn't even realize that. He jumps up 10 amos, and he's got a spear that's 10 amos, and he nails Og in the ankle. And if Og is 30 amos to the ankle, think of your ankle as relative to the rest of your body. I mean, we're talking about a guy who must be 800 amos tall. I mean, this guy's got to be absolutely huge. So how in the world could he have just been 9 by 4 amos, 8 amos, 12 feet tall? Well, that's the reason why everybody says, obvious, right, that it was just a crib. He was that tall. He was 12 feet tall when he was a baby. Can you imagine what he was like when he was an older human being? Well, yeah, you can, because Moshe Benu jumped up and hit his ankle. So we're talking about a human being that is absolutely huge. Absolutely huge. Now, the problem is that if that's true, and we're talking about a crib, then the pasuk makes a lot of sense on its own. It's 9 by 4 amos, and that's how big he was as a kid. So that could be the amas ish, meaning a regular amma of a regular human being. But Rashi told us that the amma is the amma of Og. Why would he say Bahamas Og? It would make more sense if we had Bahamas Ish. Why would that be? What are we referring to over here? Ramban, Rashbam, Chizkuni, Yonas and Menuziel, seemingly, and Unkelus as well say that he was just a huge baby and that was that. But Rashi isn't saying that, so what's going on with Rashi? Ibn Ezra asks even stronger questions than Rashi. He says, 8 by 3 amos, because we're talking about a 9 by 4 amos bed, so Og would have been 8 by 3 amos. Have you ever seen a guy who was, let's say, 6 feet tall and 3 feet wide? If you have, it's huge. 3 feet wide. I mean, granted, you've heard of like people that are the same height as they are big. You know, the midgets have that type of an issue. I understand that. But a huge guy, can you imagine a guy that big? This guy is 3 feet wide. Says Ibn Ezra, number one, that's not a human being. That doesn't look like a human being whatsoever. Number two, why would the pasuk want to tell us that if we don't even know how big Og was in the first place? Why would he tell us Ba'amas Og? So he asked those questions on Rashi. So let's answer Rashi. By the way, the Ramami Tano, the famous Kabbalist from the Arizal, he also asked those questions on Rashi in Simon Gimel and the Shells of the Tshuvas, and he goes through this as well, and he also gives a bunch of different things. But he says the following. Rashi told us in Parshas Noach that Og survived the Mabel. Rashi had a problem. If Og survived the Mabel, how is his crib still available? His crib would have been destroyed in the Mabel. So he never would have had a crib. So Rashi couldn't translate the word Eretz as a crib, because Og is from before the Mabel. If Og is from before the Mabel, there's no way there was a crib around. It just was a bed, and our pasuk is referring to a bed. But if it's a bed, that means that he's only 12 feet tall. If he's only 12 feet tall, how are you going to understand the Gemara and Brachos? So what did Rashi say? It's not normal Amos. It's the Amma of Og. And the Amma of Og was much, much bigger, and he was 8 Amos of his own Amos. But that leads to another question. That means he was a freak. If he's 8 of these, from here to here, 8 times this size. 8 times that size. That means he looked like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. He had these tiny little arms with this massive, massive body. It's a freak. You can't imagine such a freak, especially with that type of width. We're talking about a little guy, like a fat guy, really, really, really tall, with tiny little arms that are going around. What in the world is that? How could that be? There's no way that Og was such a freak. Says the Chasam Sofer, he was a freak. He was a freak. It's exactly what Rashi is trying to tell you. You know why? Because it's impossible, physically impossible in our world for there to be a giant more than 12 feet tall. You've all known about Robert Wadlow and how tall he was, being 9 feet tall and everything. He died at the age of 32 because it's abnormal. Our human bodies, the way that we are and the way that we have our body structure, there is no way for blood to flow through our system going all the way through if we were bigger than who we are. If we could be 8 feet tall, maybe. 9 feet tall, barely. 10 feet tall wouldn't happen. The blood wouldn't be able to flow. We'd need a huge heart. The giraffe that has that blood flow all the way up to its brain has a heart that weighs 25 pounds. If you have a heart that big pumping that much blood, then it has a possibility of living. You have an elephant, which is huge, then you have a possibility of living. So there's no way that you could have even a 15-foot person, let alone 100 feet tall, or anything like that. A giant wouldn't be able to exist unless you multiply the size. Let's do something very simple in math. If you have a dice, and you want to double the dice, how do you double it? You can't just do 2, because that only takes care of the width. You have to go the height as well. So really, one dice, if you want to double it, is really 8 dice, if you count them all together. 4 on top, 4 on the bottom would be the double of a cube. If you wanted to double 8, 8 would not be 16. It would be 64. That's like pre-1A physics. It's the first thing that you go into when it comes to physics. You can't double a cube just by multiplying it by 2. You have to multiply it by itself. So really, 1 ends up being 8. 8 ends up becoming 64, probably even more than that, and further and further and further out. A guy that tall as Og had to look like a freak. He'd have to look like an elephant. Or he'd have to look like some other type of creature that we don't know, but he wouldn't be able to have a human body. Because if he had a human body, he wouldn't work. The blood wouldn't be able to flow. He might have had, this would be a crazy thought, tiny little legs, tiny little arms, a massive body, huge body with a heart this size, just gargantuan, that was able to flow, make the blood flow throughout, but he looked like an absolute freak. Says the Chassam, that's what it is. And I found a rife. There's Ramban. The Ramban is in Bava Basra Kufa Mabez. He's talking about the size of normal people's graves. And he's talking about how people normally need 3 amos or 4 amos for a grave, and he goes through and he quotes a medrash that we don't have. He quotes a Dvarim Rabbah that's not in our medrash. It says, Amar Reish Lakish, Menuvel Haya Og Melech HaBashan. Og Melech HaBashan was a menuvel. He was disgusting because his width was half of his height, meaning he was disgusting. Disgustingly weird looking. He did not make any sense. You looked at me, you said, that guy's a freak. You couldn't see how that person could have lived in the world. And that's the Pshat Yan Rashi and the Chassam Sofer, and that's what it refers to. If you want to see other things on it, there's also a Panach Raza, Ber Hated, in the Yidalat and Forshe Rashi and a Rabbeinu Bechaya. And there also is a Shalos HaTshuvos Rivush. I believe it's in Kuf Mem Hei, but I don't remember exactly offhand where it is. But those are all out there. Okay, that's Rashi, that it's a regular bed. Because Og was a freak, he looked like a freak, he was just an abnormal looking human being. The other Rishonim say that it was a crib, and he grew huge as he got older, but this is what he was like when he was a little kid, and then he got bigger and bigger and bigger. The Ramban and the Rashbam says, the point to say that it was a crib, be a very, very cool point, that even as a child, if he was put in a wooden crib, he would have broken it. So they had to make the crib out of metal. They made the crib out of metal, and even then, it made it out of iron, and it was shown, it was kept for its shock value. So people would look at it and be like, what crib is that? It looks like a, you know, crazy little crib. And they'd be like, oh, that's Og's crib. That's how strong Og was. Where did they put it? It's the Meshech Chochmah, says the following. Because they considered the Giborim among them to be gods. Similar to the Greek society, where they made all the strongest of war become gods among them. All the kalim that showed their gruah, like their sword and their shields and everything, was put up on the wall to show how you should bow down to their strength and everything they stood for. So it says the following. Og was huge, and he was very, very, very old. I mean, 900 years old already. The Bnei Amon made his crib holy, and they put it into a temple called Rabbas Bnei Amon. And in that place, they put it there, and they said, look at this god, Og, and how great he was. Which is why the Pasuk calls it Ba'amas Ish. He had the Amma of a human being. What does that mean, an Amma of a human being? He was still human. That's the idea, says the Meshech Chochmah. They tell us, no, don't worry, Og might have looked like a god, he might have acted like a god, but he's still just human, and he still could be killed by regular human sword. You don't have to worry about that whatsoever. The Raya, by the way, is that Yonis Ben Uziel calls Rabbas Bnei Amon Beis Archeon. Archeon is translated as a museum. So they put it into a museum. They showed everybody how great Og was and how tremendously huge he was supposed to be. But that just starts off how big Og was and what are you supposed to do with this crib and everything like that. But obviously, the Pasuk is trying to tell us something different. The Pasuk is going way, way, way deeper to try to tell us that Og was somebody who was doing something over here that's strange. What is 9 and what is 4? 9 and 4. Those two have to be referring to something that Og was trying to take care of. Happens to be, we're coming up to a certain day called Tisha B'Av. Devarim always comes out before Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av. So there's got to be a connection here, because we're talking Chassidus HaTorah, and there's always a connection between the Parsha that when it falls out on, and what's going on with the numbers around it. So let's try to understand this. I'm telling you right now, that if anybody dies from this Vort, it's not your fault. I would have. Had I been in the right frame of mind, but since the 9 days, I couldn't get happy, so I wasn't allowed to let myself get that happy. So I am pulling you down. I didn't make challah for that reason. My dad didn't make challah for that reason, to make sure that everybody keeps their sanity and you're going to be okay. If you jump out of your seat and you say, like, no way, I understand it. I completely understand it. Let's try to understand Og for a second. Remember, we've left Eliezer to the wayside up until now. Okay. Emunati Kako, Rav Wolfson, has a one-liner about Og that got me started. He says that Barzel is the Koach HaTumah. It's the greatest strength of Tumah that there is. And the reason why is because it was the bracha given to Esav. Esav was made for the sword, his metal sword to run out with. Og was filled with that Tumah, even as a baby. He was filled with Barzel. Everything around him was Barzel, meaning he was full of Tumah in everything he went to. His schus, and the only reason why he survived up until this point, was that he had a bris milah. But he was pogim in the bris milah. He destroyed his own bris milah, and therefore we're referring to him by metal. Here's a cool little thought. metal was never used to make a bris milah until the times of David HaMelech. Up until that point, the only time we see a bris milah being done with an object is by Tzipporah, by her son, when Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it correctly. But Tikach Tzipporah Tzor. Tzipporah took a rock and gave a bris milah to her son. Because up until now, they just had sharp rocks or glass or something else, or wood, that they used to do a bris milah, but they never used metal because you couldn't use metal on something kadosh. They never wanted to use something metal on kadosh. When David saw Goliath, Goliath was filled with that metal all around his entire body. He said to, the Medrash says, it's brought down by the Prima Govan, he said to the metal, if you separate, you make a part in yourself, and you allow my slingshot to go through, then I swear to you, from now on, all the bris milahs will be done with metal. That from now on, we'll only use knives of metal for bris milah. The metal opened, Goliath was killed, and Davidoff from then on used knives of metal, used these metal knives in order to a bris milah. But up until then, he didn't use metal, because metal was tameh. Iron was tameh. You couldn't even use iron to make the base of mikdash. They couldn't use iron for anything. They had to come up with a weird worm that ate through metal in order to do this, but you couldn't use anything else. That's the idea behind it, that metal is supposed to be tameh. The Magen Avraham of Trisk says, Bashan, Beis Shin Nun, which was the area the Og Melech HaBashan was in, stands for Nun Share Bina. That's Nun Shin and Beis. The 50 gates of wisdom that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to get through Kedusha. And Og was able to get through Tumah. Do you know who else got to the 50th level of Tumah? Not just Og. There's a famous one. 50th level of Tumah. Who? Bilam. Bilam is Gematria of 142. Arso Eres Barzel is Ayin, Ayin, Beis are the first letters. 70, 70, and 2 for 142 to make him like Bilam, and that he wanted to curse out Klal Yisrael, destroy Klal Yisrael, and get to the 50th level of Tumah, he will destroy everything there. And you can go into the whole idea that Shamchaza and Azol were the two Malachim that came down to earth that were the ones that taught Bilam how to get to the 50th level of Tumah. Shamchaza is the father of Og. There's a connection between Shamchaza, the father of Og, and later on with Bilam. There's a connection all over the place that he was able to get to this level of Tumah. 10 is a number that's used for Kedusha everywhere. But 9 and 11 are never used for Kedusha. 9 and 11 are supposed to be something different. Granted, there are 9 months of Aleda, and that's what we're supposed to do, and 11 Kochavaya, 11 stars, but each one of those are a little bit off. Really, the amount of months of a birth are 10, if you count them all together. It's the 9th month, but altogether it's really 10 months long. 11 is because there was one star missing. That was the whole point, that it was a bad thing altogether. So regardless, 9 and 11 are supposed to be bad. Og's bed was 9 amos long. He wanted to fight Bnei Yisrael by bringing out the 9, by making the 9th month, the 9th day of the 11th month, something tameh. And that was Tisha B'Av. Because if you go around from Tishrei being the first month, Av becomes the 11th month. And the 9th of that month, the 9th of that 11th month is a time of absolute Tumah. Amas Ish is the first letters of Beis and Aleph are Av, for the month of Av. What was the 4? Why 4? The 9 was to make the month happen. For us to be able to have that basically to destroy, for all the Kedusha to leave Klal Yisrael, for Tumah to remain. What was with the 4? The 4, it gets even better. The 4 stands for the 4 Imahos that were together with Yaakov Avinu to fight when Esav was on the other side. 4 Imahos. Who are the 4 Imahos? Rachel, Leah, Bilhah, and Zilpah. Check the first letters. Bilhah, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah. Is Barzah. All together. The point of the 4, and the point of it being Barzah, is to fight the Kedusha of the Arba Imos, to take away the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. Because remember, Yaakov was the one that had a perfect bed, that never wasted any Shekhvah or Levatala, that never did anything wrong when it came to Tumah. That's what he wanted to fight. He wanted to bring out the Tumah of Klal Yisrael, to bring it out from them, and to make sure that they would be Tameh. That was the idea. That's what he was trying to do. He was trying to take the Eser, the Kedusha, the 10 of Kedusha, and turn it into the Eres, the crib, meaning something that would be his, that he would be in charge of, so that Arso Eres Barzel, that he would take on all that Tumah, make the Tumah go on to them. That's the idea of destroying Klal Yisrael. But in the end, obviously, he failed. Because although Tisha B'Av is a bad day now, in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal the Mashiach on the day of Tisha B'Av. Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is going to be a Chag La'asid level. It's not there yet, we're not there yet, but as of right now, it will be. It's going to be something Kadosh. And Og is going to lose, but he was able to put in this Tumah right then.
Me'ah Shiloach says the reason why he didn't succeed, and this is what Moshe was afraid of. He knew that Og was very, very powerful. Bashan is also the gematria of Shimon ben Nisanel, who is one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. He's mentioned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and Perek Beis when he goes through the five Talmidim. Rabbi Shimon ben Nisanel is the one that says that the worst meat in the world is lo veveinu mishalim. The best meat in the world is the one that's weird. Lo veveinu mishalim. Anybody remember? It's not ayin tov or lev tov. It's something weird. Haroas and Asid, Haroas and Nolad. If you see the future, that's the best meat in the world. Shem ben Isano was in Og. There was something good about Og. But he had Kiddush on the outside, he had a bris milah, but on the inside he was full of tumah. And that's what it was doing, Barabbas ben Amon. That means that he was in the Klipa of Amon. Amon is known for Niyuf. Their whole nation was started up from disgusting acts between a father and a daughter, between Lot and his daughter. We know that's what they were all about. That's the idea of what Amon, that Og stood for. That is bris. Although on the outside it looked like a bris milah, he was metame it by destroying it on the inside. And that's the remnants. 9 and 4 are also the letters before the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud and He. Yud He, Vav He, the Yud and the He of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God is going to use to bring back Kiyad Al Kes Yah, because Amalek has their hand on the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Yud and He, that they're destroying that Yud and the He and they're taking it for themselves. The Tes and the Dalet. The Tes is before the Yud, the He has the Dalet before it, means the inner parts of Yud He. Meaning the inside of what the Yud and Hey stand for. The Yud and Hey on the outside, the Tes and the Dalet are on the inside. Which means that although on the outside, Og thought that he had held on to the Yud and the Hey, on the inside, he was Tes and Dalet. He didn't have that Kedusha, nothing was there. Since he wasn't that great, he wasn't able to get anything, he loses. But not everybody thinks he's so bad. Rav Chaim Vital is a sefer called Eitz Hadas Tov. I still have no idea whether I'm allowed to learn it or not, because it might be Kabbalah. But this I have to see, because he quoted something about Og. Og went to Gan Eden alive. He says 100% like Eliezer of Avram that we quoted in the first place. And although we have the Machlokas Midrashim, we're going to see it's not really Machlokas Midrashim. Og went into Gan Eden alive. He kept his bris holy the entire time. It says, Amech Kulam Tzadikim, Lo'olam Yerushuaretz. If you're a tzadik and you keep your bris and you don't have, you're not together with an evil person, then Lo'olam Yerushuaretz, you will always inherit Olam Haba. If a person is not together with a non-Jew, you're guaranteed Olam Haba without any questions. Avraham is just going to let you in and you're perfectly fine without any shilas in the world. It's automatic. Otherwise, you have to deserve it. And you have to work your way up there to be able to get yourself back in. But that's the idea of the Amech Kulam Tzadikim Olam Yeshua, is that Og, because he's never together with a Tameh person, he was able to inherit Olam Haba. His name was because, everybody know Og? The famous Medrash in Devarim Rabbah, it mentions that the reason why it's Og is because he went to Sarimim while she was baking cakes and told her that Lot was captured and that Avraham should go to war. That's the famous answer. Here's another one. I have no idea where Chaim Vital gets this from, but he's a Talmid of the Arizal, so it could be anywhere. Og Uga, he made a circle just like Choni Amagel. He stood inside the circle by the Mabul and he refused to be Metameh himself. He didn't do anything that anybody else did. He refused to be together with any of the women, with any of the other men, with any of the animals. He refused to be metame himself. Because Og did that, he had a bed that was shalim. And that's why we specifically mention his bed in this week's parsha. Because his bed was the reason why he was so kadosh. And Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. And that's why he was afraid of him. He was afraid of the oath, the bris milah of Og. Because he realized there was kedusha to Og. There's something there and he wasn't metame himself. He didn't do anything wrong. And arso eres barzel means his bed was so kadosh that it was filled with, just like Bilhah, Rachel, Zilpah, and Leah were metaher, the bed of Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu had a full bed with no problems whatsoever. So too Og had a bed with four bits of kedusha. Whoever he married, maybe he married Bakal, the daughter of Avraham Avinu. I have no idea. If it's Eliezer of Avraham, it would make sense that he married the daughter of Avraham Avinu. But somehow he was able to be shalim and was able to make sure that everything was good, and therefore he deserved Olam Haba. The Rabbas Bnei Amon, Amon, if you switch the letters around, are Noam, the Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. That he had the Noam, the pleasure and everything good of HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon him. And that's why, perhaps, he didn't really die from Moshe Rabbeinu's hit in the ankle. Who dies from an ankle wound? Unless you're Achilles. It doesn't happen. Nobody dies from an ankle wound. Now granted, not everybody has a mountain on their head when they get hit in the ankle. So if you have a mountain on your head and you get hit in the ankle, then you might die. I hear that. But it doesn't say that he fully died. And perhaps he didn't. Maybe at that point, that's when Akash Baruch called him back. And that's when he went up to Gan Eden and he never really died. He wasn't Mekame himself altogether. I'm going to mention one last medrash, and then I'm going to tell you how they all fit together. The last medrash is in Perek Chaf Aleph, Maseches Sofrim. Another medrash that people don't do. It's a Masechta Ketana, a small Masechta, that people have no idea that it exists, but it's an awesome Masechta. Mostly it's about Safrus and how to write a Sefer Torah, but at the end it goes to a little bit of a Gadata.
Quick question, Anderson, how can you be, you can say that he's so Kadosh that Hashem would call him back, but how can you be, how can you wage war against Klal Yisrael and fight Moshe Rabbeinu and be that Kadosh that...
Why did Eliezer leave Yitzchak Avinu? Strong question, right? Because Og, who was Eliezer, thought that Yitzchak Avinu stood for a different meter than Avram Avinu stood for. Avram Avinu was pure chassid. He was the Eish HaTorah rabbi that loved everybody. He was like, come everybody, my friends, and let's sing and dance together, and everything was all good. He was on Aleph Beis. Yitzchak Avinu was the Rebbe that screamed at them and told them they were a bunch of fools if they didn't listen. That was the idea of Yitzchak versus Avram Avinu. Eliezer didn't like Yitzchak and left. Rechav Chanachmi Alexander says this word. Yitzchak Avinu was not for Eliezer, so Eliezer left and took all the Avadim with him. He ran out with all the Avadim. Eliezer always thought that he was the Iker, and that the Klal Yisrael that was made was a bunch of phonies. They were a bunch of fakers. They weren't the real thing, because I stand for Avram Avinu. Not these guys. These guys aren't. It's me. I've got it. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of that tzchus. So that's the answer to the question. Og honestly thought that he was doing it for the right reason. He thought these people are a bunch of fakers. I'm the one who's supposed to get it. I just haven't gotten the Nebuah yet.
Isn't it? If I honestly think that losing for the right reason, it's a good thing.
If you have a reason for it, he was the Shamash of Avram Avinu. He was Eliezer. We're not talking about a nobody here. We're not talking about a guy who just gets up and he's like, I saw God in a cave. We're talking about a guy who was with Avram Avinu. He was sent to do the most important mission of all time to get Yitzchak Avinu a wife. We're talking about a really important guy. We're talking about domestic Eliezer. The guy was Dole Umashka Mitoris Rabbah, was the Rosh Hashiva of Avram Avinu's Yeshiva. We're not talking about a nobody. That's the reason why. Maseches Sofrim, Perek Chaf Aleph. I don't know how to read the Medrash exactly. Either Og held Avram Avinu in his hand, or Avram Avinu held Og in his hand. I don't know how to read it. It's a very strange lashon. But let's assume that Og held Avram Avinu in his hand. Avram Avinu yelled at him about something, yelled at him until Og's tooth fell out. Og's tooth fell out, and Avram Avinu took it and used it to make a bed of marble. It's got to be an awesome bed. Very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Your tooth is harder than your bones, your body. I just read that in National Geographic Kids. So I know that your tooth is harder than the rest of the bones of your body. But either way, maybe you put blankets on it and made it into a bed. Isn't that crazy? The bed that Avram Avinu made connects with the bed in this week's parsha. The tooth that fell out of Og is very similar to how Og died. The mountain came down on his head, right? Why didn't he just pull the mountain off and throw it away? Because his teeth grew out and fell into the mountain and caused the mountain not to be able to go anywhere unless he'd break his teeth. What was the problem? And what in the world are teeth doing here? What are teeth? What's the bed? I think I have an answer that's going to go all the way through. Okay. I understand the following. His chus was the bris milah. But he's in Avram Avinu's hand. Either Og is in Avram's or Avram's in Og. I don't know what it means exactly, but it means that the only reason why Og survived and exists is because he had the tchus of Avram Avinu. Although he should have had Amitas Barza. He should have been Mekadesh himself. He should have been the holiest person in the world, and he would have been Mekaki and everything. Avram Avinu was Merames to him years before. Then in the end, his shame would destroy him in the end. His tooth falling out, making his bed, meaning that the bed that he's going to have is not going to be this bed of Barzel. It's going to be Kadosh and Mekakin and all good things. It's going to be a bed made out of your tooth. What's a tooth? Nachash and Satan are both surrounded by shame. Nachash is Nun, Ches, Shin. Satan is Sin, Tes, Nun. Ches and Tes of the middle of the word stands for Chet. Because when a person gets a Chet, then he's bitten by the Satan and the Nachash, and the poison slowly but surely goes into your bloodstream. And little by little, you're poisoned and you're destroyed by what happens to you. Listen to this. Og sinned. He did a chet. He was bitten by the snake, which is the lashon of shame. And that's what Avram Avinu was referring to. What chet did he do? He probably didn't do much. He probably only did a sin that other people
are dosh ba'akevos. They step on with their feet because they say, oh, it's nothing. What's the big deal? He was over on gaiva, a little bit of gaiva. He was over on something small, nothing big. But on Og's level and Og's stature, this was a huge sin. So where did Moshe Rabbeinu hit Og? He hit him in the ankle. Because the mitzvah that he did was something that was dosh ba'akevos. Listen to this idea. It's an unbelievable idea. Moshe, he picks up a mountain. Og picks up a mountain three parses long for each one of the avos, thinking, I have schus avos. I've got it. I'm the one who's able to do it. And termites, little ants, little chatoim, little sins, bite through the mountain. They destroy the schus avos and it falls down on top of his head. His shame, his teeth, come out and go into the mountain, showing him, like Avraham even showed him before, that it's your own chatoim, your own sins that are doing this to you. It's not anybody else. You're not like Klal Yisrael. You're not the Iker. They're the Iker. And then what happens? Moshe Benu jumps up, hits him in the ankle, because Moshe Benu, the greatest human being to have ever existed, the greatest human being that we know, goes ahead and hits him right in the ankle, and the point of the ankle, again, is supposed to be this idea of the dosh ba'akevos, the mitzvahs that are absolutely nothing, they don't mean anything whatsoever. This idea of what it is that that's what killed Og. This is the idea of what killed Og, and that's what surrounded him. And this, even though he could have gone into Gan Eden alive, he didn't. His schar was used up in Olam Hazeh, and he's gone. And he could have had the medrash of going into Gan Eden alive, but he never did it. And it was Eliezer, and all the medrashim work out together. Everything could be able to figure it out this way, and in the end he dies. Summary, six parts. Og is Eliezer. Moshe is scared. Number two, Rashi on Og's bed or crib, that he was a freak of nature and he looked strange. Number three, the crib was archived as Avodah Zarah, so that they knew how great Og was. Number four, the tuma of Og was what he sought and destroyed. The ninth of Og is what he tried to destroy, and he failed at it in the Barzel. Others say that he was a tzaddik, and the whole board altogether of Avraham was Merames that to him in the first place, of his tooth falling out and turning into a bed, and that's what Avraham was trying to be Merames to him, that explains all those midrashim that we mentioned before. This is the pshat behind Og. We'll stop with that, guys. Have a good Shabbos.